This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
Well, you know what? And I said this a while ago, and you know, Colin had his chance to be here. We offered him a contract. He didn't take it. So, you know, and as I said at my deposition, and I don't know if I'm legally able to say this, but you know, he's had his chance to be here. He passed it.
What a odd comment. What a weird, strange comment from John Elway. Revising history, John Elway. Let's get to that topic and more. Harry Lyles, our friend, SBNation.com on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Harry, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Matt, how's it going, man?
It's going great. All right, in terms of why John Elway decided to go back and to say that they tried to acquire Colin Kaepernick before he started to kneel, and the fact that Colin Kaepernick had to take a massive pay cut to go play for the Broncos, why would Elway decide to interject this? Is this just he can't help himself when it comes to the politics of this?
I mean, I don't know if John is forgetting the times that we live in now, as if we can't just go back and find the receipts for anything with, you know, just simple Google search. Because, I mean, he had no reason to do that. But I think at the same time, you know, these guys get up on the podium to get thrown questions, and he just was not ready for that. And, I mean, if you go back, our Adam Seitz actually did a post that, you know, basically explained that his reasoning for passing on him was, you know, just a load of crap, you know? Like, the Broncos, first off, only went after him before he began protesting, and then they didn't show any interest in him after he was released. You know, and then they brought back Brock Osweiler like it was absolutely nothing. And, you know, we know that Brock Osweiler is, you know, at best, like, a laughable quarterback. I hate to say that, but it's just the truth. So, I mean, the whole thing is just, I mean, you kind of just got to laugh at it at this point because it's just so ridiculous.
He may have also done something to tick off the judge in the case with Colin Kaepernick, because there's a gag order on everybody not to talk about their testimony. And there's Elway standing up there saying, I'm not supposed to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about this anyway. And it just seems strange because he is being pushed because his quarterback picking abilities are now under real scrutiny because of what's going on with Case Keenum, because he's looked horrible so far with the Broncos, and his drafting of Paxton Lynch and others have not gone well at all. It seemed like he was trying to deflect or maybe change the topic. Fair?
I mean, probably. And it's kind of funny because, you know, people love to crap on Michael Jordan for perhaps not being the best, you know, NBA owner. And yet John Elway's rap sheet for selecting quarterbacks is really, really bad. Yeah. Right? I mean, like, this, I mean, it's preseason, it's early, like, we'll see, you know, how Case Keenum, you know, actually ends up working with that offense. But I mean, I think people also kind of undermine how much talent Keenum had around him in Minnesota. So, and I think we all kind of raised our eyebrows when, you know, Denver, you know, gave him that contract and things like that. But at the same time, I mean, just, you know, he's, like you mentioned, he's just hasn't been great at selecting quarterbacks.
So Teddy Bridgewater is right now a hot commodity. It seems like numerous teams may be eyeballing him. Denver may be one of them. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers might be another, or maybe even the Philadelphia Eagles. Do you see Bridgewater starting for a team in the NFL this year?
Yeah, I think he's got to. And I think, and it's kind of weird that the Jets actually are looking pretty well in their quarterback situation. I never thought any of us would say that. But at the very least, you know, you feel at some point, whether or not Bridgewater starts the season for the Jets or Darnold does, at the very worst, Bridgewater will be starting for somebody this year, right? I mean, he's got to. There's the quarterback position in today's NFL is just, like, way too important for anybody to look at what Teddy Bridgewater is doing, even after his injury, and not be like, all right, like, let's take a chance on this guy, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, honestly, and it's kind of, we're probably not talking about this enough at how much of a great story it is, because this guy, like, you know, his injury was so bad, a lot of people forget that he almost lost his leg. And he's out here, you know, looking sharp. And again, you got to kind of preface it with it being preseason, but, Just the fact that he's on an NFL field again is amazing. And I think, you know, again, whether it's with the Jets or somebody else, it'll be nice to see him, you know, getting reps as a starting quarterback this season.
I've made the point that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be the perfect place for Teddy Bridgewater to go in and maybe even take the starting job long term away from Jameis Winston. Could you see that happening?
I'm going to say no, and not because he shouldn't, but because I don't think the Buccaneers would actually do that. I think they're kind of at a point now, and I think they've really held on to hope with Jameis, thinking that, like, all right, he's been good enough, but when is he going to turn the corner? And I still think they're in that mode in terms of, like, all right, when are we going to see more out of Jameis? And I don't think that they'd be willing to, you know, pull that string because they just believe in him too much.
It's interesting when you look at what they could do contractually with Winston, though. They've given him the extension, but they could rescind that if they wanted to and not have him. And this could be his last year with the team if they wanted him to be gone. So you think there's no way that the team just believes too much in him?
I mean, that's so – but see, what you mentioned right there, the timeline of that, I think somebody else is going to be able to get to Bridgewater before they do, because
right.
I think somebody's going to be able to look at him and say, like, all right, this guy's worth trading for. Like, let's roll the dice here, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think for a team like Tampa, like, to me, they would have to actively make a move before they can make that particular decision with Jameis Winston if they wanted to get a Bridgewater.
Right. You mentioned it's preseason, Harry, so we can't get too wrapped up, but we know Aaron Rodgers is really good. We know Jimmy Graham has been, in the past, extremely good. Last night we saw a taste of it with the Green Bay Packers and it, with a red zone touchdown toss, Rodgers finding his tall receiver in traffic. How much do you think we're going to be hearing touchdown toss, Rodgers going over and finding his new toy this year?
Man, honestly, that's one of the more things that I'm looking forward to this season, because we know how good Jimmy Graham is and how Jimmy Graham has been. I've seen a lot of people actually say that Jimmy Graham might be washed up, but this oddly feels a whole lot, and I'm not saying it's going to have the same effect by any means, but it kind of feels like when the Patriots got Randy Moss, because a lot of people thought Moss was done after his 2 years in Oakland. He finally gets to play with a great quarterback, and then you just see the results. So I think we can see a similar type of improvement from Jimmy Graham because he's got a guy like Aaron Rodgers throwing to him. But again, I'm not saying that he's going to put up Randy Moss type numbers. You know, we're never going to see another Randy Moss again, but,
right.
I'm excited to see what it's going to be like for Aaron Rodgers to finally have a guy on his team that he doesn't have to make look good.
True. And I think also you've got an opportunity in the red zone, maybe not, you know, putting up tons of yards, but I just see Jimmy Graham being a touchdown machine. If I give you the over-under on 13 touchdowns for Jimmy Graham from Aaron Rodgers this year, you going over or under?
Give me a push on that. Let me get the 13 straight up.
All right. I think it's right there, 12, 13, 14. I think they're going to be very, very good. All right, let's go back to the Eagles for a second. And they chose not to trade Nick Foles in the offseason. I think that was a mistake. He gets injured last night. They're calling it a sprained shoulder. We'll see how serious it is. But Carson Wentz appears not to be ready for week number one. Now Nick Foles may not be ready for week number one. What are we going to see out of the Eagles? Are we seeing Sutfeld out there?
I'm kind of curious about that. I think if this was ever going to happen to any NFL team, this is probably like the best time for it to happen to the Eagles. Because like the talent that is just on that roster is pretty insane. Now that's not to say that they can throw anybody at the quarterback position and they're still going to be, you know, the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. But let's say, I don't know, perhaps Carson Wentz and, for, you know, whatever reason, Nick Foles can't make it for the first, like, 4 weeks of the season, I don't think that's going to kill their year. So if you're them, should you be concerned? Yeah, you know, of course, like, having Wentz isn't great. Not having Foles is worse. But I think you can survive that, assuming his shoulder injury isn't too bad.
Yeah, that Falcons game, you're right there. I would see the Falcons winning that game maybe easily now if you're going third-string quarterback, given what the Falcons got this year, right?
As a Falcons fan, nothing comes easy. I can say, I mean, you know that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to discuss February 5th, 2007.
Oh, no, we're going to here in a second. Don't worry. I've got a question for you already lined up for that one. Don't worry about that.
So, you know, but I think still, you know, you look at that Eagles defensive line. I mean, you know, when you're just as stacked as they are, I don't think you can say that they're out of any game.
Hmm. Now, you were salty when the Patriots did the 28-3 ring thing, when the Patriots had the 28-3 on the opening night, the Barstool Sports signs that were all popping up. You didn't like that. So my question to you is, last night, a Eagles fan purchased a $1,000 banner to fly over Gillette Stadium that read the final score of the Super Bowl to remind all the Patriot fans what had happened last February. So you didn't like it when the Patriots did it. What was your opinion of the Eagle fan doing what he did last night?
I mean, if I had $1,000 to be petty and just spend it, I would totally do it. I would totally do it. I mean, honestly, like, we're in this age now with sports where, like, you know, we had, like, the Warriors 3-1 thing.
Yep.
And now it's, like, the easy reach thing for literally anybody to go and get after, like, a team on. Like, do we actually need a reminder that the Patriots lost the Super Bowl to the Eagles? No. But is it going to make some guy with a lot of bread, like, be like, hey, I'm going to go fly a banner over the stadium and remind everybody, like, hey, good for that guy, whatever. I think it's corny still. So, you know, wouldn't it be nice, Matt? Don't you wish you had $1,000? And I'm pretty sure you'd fly a banner over my residence and remind me of the Falcons lost the Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah, I probably would. But the one thing, the difference that I had with the Patriots and what they did, they didn't do it with the Falcons there. Like, they didn't do it, like, right on opening night. They didn't do it where they, like, rubbed it in their face. And I can't remember, did something happen during the game last year when the Falcons went to Gillette Stadium? I can't remember if there was something that the Patriots fans did that was equally as petty. Because my thing was, they really, like, you did it on a rival's road. Like, your team's on the road, and you did that.
Right.
So the
Patriots did put up, I think, it was either the time when they were down, like, 28-3 around Gillette Stadium, like, while the Falcons were warming up.
Okay.
Which, like, you know, whatever, honestly, man, like, objectively, you know, I'm all for, like, talking trash and being petty. Like, it's a part of sports. Like, honestly,
yeah.
If you can't handle the trash talk, like, all jokes aside, like, I don't hate anybody for making 28-3 jokes because, honestly, like, if you're on the other side of that, like, are you not going to make the same jokes or
right.
You know, things like that? So it's sports, and it's part of what makes sports great. And, you know, it kind of just is what it is. So, you know, it's kind of like, and not to get off topic here, but, you know, the Marlins throwing at Ronald Acuna, my boy,
yeah.
Like, oof. Hey, like, you know, if you can't take it, like, don't let them kick your butt. Like,
I agree.
You know? So
yeah.
It's why we love sports.
I totally agree. Great stuff, Harry. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
Harry Lyles Jr. on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline on Pushing the Odds, SBNation.com. Great NFL writer. Always a lot of fun. We got to talk about that when we come back, because I got into a big fight with Joe Fortenbaugh, our friend in San Francisco last night on Twitter. We went back and forth about 28-3 versus what happened last night with the banner. But I had forgotten about the Falcons playing in Foxborough last year. I may owe Joe an apology. We'll get to that next. SBNation Radio.